Now, accession number 30620, Mr. Kurt Zelders, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, sir, Mr. Zelders?
I was born in Berlin, Germany.
What was the date?
Sorry?
The date.
I think it was Sunday, the 13th of July, 1919.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Yes. I come from a very happy home of mother, father. I had a sister who is 3 years younger. We had a very happy family life, lived in a reasonably nice apartment in the west part of Berlin. My father had a retail shop of men's outwear, who he developed over the years into 3 shops, because his idea was always, I have to leave something to my children and something for myself. So he thought, if I have one shop for me, one shop...
Okay.
Right. So he said, I will keep one shop for myself, I will keep one shop for my son and one shop for my daughter, which unfortunately never materialized because that was it. But the intention was very good. Now, not knowing exactly the date, but it must have been in 38.
No, hang on. Tell us a bit. Now, he served in the army, the German army, didn't he? Could you tell us what you know of that? I know he may
Very little, because it was not something you were emphasized to your children about it. All I know is that he was in the German army. He had the Iron Cross, and he was very proud of it. And he braved the German people by always saying, although I'm a Jew, but nothing happened to you because I'm not one of the immigrants coming from Poland or from somewhere. We come from a German background all the way. And myself and my forefathers, we always served in the German army, and therefore I don't think anything will ever happen to me. I don't think they mean us. And it was only my mother, with the usual women's foresight, who said, you're an idiot. They mean everybody, not only you. And anyway, for the time being, we got away with it until my mother...
Now, hang on. Now, what about, you were a Jewish family. How Jewish were you in the sense of liberal or orthodox?
No, we were conservative.
And what did that mean in effect?
Conservative means we were liberal. We did keep a Friday evening occasionally, or mostly, let we put it that way. We kept all the high holidays. I did fast, and I was brought up to be not only a Jewish young man, but a person who will adhere to all the regulations and whatever there is. So I had my usual bar mitzvah lessons, I went to the synagogue, but not every Friday night. But we did keep all the high holidays, I always fasted.
Did you follow the dietary rules?
I followed the basic dietary rule. We didn't keep a kosher home, because according to my parents, the way they saw life was that although it says in the Jewish religion you should keep a kosher home, kosher basically means clean. And as long as we keep a clean home, and because at that time, you, so far as I hear from a religious point of view, you were not allowed to eat pork, because pork at everything there was about, and therefore it carried, I think the word is trishin or something, and therefore it was not usable for human consumption. But at a later date, all animals were searched for basic, and they were clean. And therefore, my parents said, no, providing we cook the meat properly and we look after it, you have to do that not only with meat, you have to do it with vegetables, you have to do it with anything. You have to keep clean. Like you keep your body clean, you have to keep your food clean.
So you did eat pork.
So therefore they thought that is just as good as it said in the Bible that you keep yourself clean. And the word clean is the same thing as keeping kosher. And that is how they translated it to me, at least. And that's how I was brought up.
Did you wear the traditional costume, the small hat?
No. Only on a Friday evening, if I went to synagogue, that naturally you covered your head. Like the Christian, they keep a hat on when they go to church. And you, or that whatever the religion says, that's what you will do. And that is it. So basically, I would say, you behave like any other human being which is in your surrounding. I always say, don't be different than others. Be the same as others. And once you are the same as others, you will mingle with the crowd. Once you are slightly different, people will point at you and say, oh, he's different. So why should you be different?
Now, what about your education? That would start before the Nazis
came. I had a basic good education. I went to high school. With some difficulties here and there, I passed all my examinations, but I passed everything. I was one of those who were lazy in the beginning and caught up with it at the end.
You'd learn a lot of subjects. The German education system, you'd learn quite a lot of subjects, I presume.
Yes.
You didn't specialize as early as the English did.
I did not specialize in any
subjects. Which subjects did you like or dislike, good at, bad at?
No, I was never an excellent scholar. I was always, on top of the middle class. Never the top class, but I always managed to get all my exams through in time. Sometimes with a little bribery.
And at school, was sport important at school?
Yes, a lot of sport was involved. And as it happened, I took on rowing. And I belonged to a rowing club called Velle Poseidon, which at that time was quite a well-known club. It was half Jewish and half Christian, which my parents always preferred. They always said, it is better to mingle with the crowd than be the odd one out. I devoted a lot of time there. I went there every weekend and sometimes during the week. And I got a few times what they call master points for rowing, because they added always the mileage which you did. So I was quite proud, and it was, if you call it, my little achievement as a youngster.
So you were fit then?
So
physically fit?
I was physically always very fit. In actual fact, I was so fit that I always prided myself that two people could stand on my stomach and I could take it. Because the muscles in the stomach develop enormously when you do rowing.
Now, when did you first become aware of Hitler? And I mean, you'd be about, what, 12 or 13 when they came in?
Well, probably even 15 or so. Up to
33,
that,
I think he came in, yeah. Didn't he? What did you think? What was your family's attitude? What was your attitude to the rise of the Nazis?
Well, shall we say, we listened to Goebbels and Hitler with great anxiety, but at the same time with, something is happening in the world. I think my parents saw the dark clouds on the horizon, and I think it was more my mother who said, this does not add up to anything good. My father said, nothing will happen to us. We are Germans by birth, Germans by generations, and my father always thought that they meant the people coming from the East and from Poland, and not the Jewish people who were by generations German nationality.
Now, were you aware of any anti-Semitism when you were young? I mean, in the early days?
Not really to that extent, no.
So when did you first encounter it?
Not really at all. Until my friend, my mother in 1937 thought of emigrating. Took a ship to America, visit what the, so far as I remember, like something like a great uncle, who at that time, so far my memory goes, was already in the early 90s, asking him for an affidavit, which was at that time the papers you needed in order to apply to come into America. An affidavit meant that you had to guarantee for the person or the family to be financially looked after and therefore not fall on the burden of the state. Having seen him, she came back by saying his answer was he would like to help, but at that time, I think he must have been in his early 90s, and he said, I do not think that a man of 90 can take over a guarantee like that. Today you would think, isn't it horrible that a man who I believe was quite wealthy and money wasn't the matter, felt that mentally he couldn't take it, not from a financial point of view. So she came back very disappointed on the ship. On the way back, she met a lady from Switzerland. She told her the story and said, I want to persuade my husband and my children to leave the country, but he is adamant. Somehow or other, one day we will have to. And knowing that we won't be able to take out any money, I don't know you, I've only met you now on the ship. And I got some money on me. I don't need it when I come home. Would you look after if I give it to you? And she agreed. And that was the end of the story. She left the ship. We knew her address and her phone number. And my father still was very adamant. But then things seemed to have changed. And what has changed, and I'm not quite sure how long afterwards.
When was this attempt? It's 30.
That must have been in 37. But in 38.
So you were still at school then, were you? Or,
Yes. In 38, I started actually, wait a minute, I started just my apprenticeship. I left school. Which at that time you could leave early. Now I'm trying to think when it was. So I think you could leave school already when you were 15, aren't you?
That would be 1934, you see.
Yes.
So you weren't at school in 37 when you went to America?
No.
Okay. So tell me about your apprenticeship.
I went to apprenticeship to a company. No, I can't. But it was like Marks & Spencer, you know, one of those shops. And I took on an apprenticeship there.
And that was when you were 15?
Yes.
So that's 1934.
So I know because I'm getting a pension for Germany because I worked there for 9 months or for a year. So because I paid the stamps there, you know.
So what were you doing as an apprentice in the department store?
They were teaching me generally the trade, how to behave and what to do and how merchandise is being bought and sold and how... That's as far as I can remember.
With a view to going into management?
No, not at all.
So what were you going to do?
It's just a normal apprenticeship like you would do here by coming to shop. Only at that time, and I remember that you were taught a little bit more. You were taken not only on the floor to show what the merchandise is like, you were taken into a room where you were told how merchandise has been bought, how merchandise has been displayed and calculated to some extent, and how the company has to make a profit in order to pay for the overheads and the staff and this and the other. So we were actually at that time already well introduced to commercial life, if you call it like that, at the early stage. And I was actually already quite impressed how quickly you can possibly make progress. Anyway.
So you were doing that, 34, 35?
Yes.
Then what happened?
Then I came home one day. One day my father had a phone call from the porter of the block of flats which we lived in.
Now, hang on. I thought you emigrated in 38.
Yeah, that was. I emigrated in 38.
So that's a three-year gap there.
Yeah, wait a minute. So
you're at the department store, 14.
So that must have been in 37. The emigration and my emigration were more or less the same, except with a 3 months difference.
Well, what I mean is, if you started work at 15...
I was only working for about 6 months or 9 months.
And then you emigrated?
And then I emigrated.
So if you emigrated in 38, you must have started work in you must have started work at about 17, 18.
Okay, then yes, yeah. All right.
So.
Yeah, give it the gap because we lived 6 months in South Africa.
Now tell me about that.
Now, what actually happened was my father had a phone call. And he said, you're not going home. He took me to...
Explain the whole story. They haven't heard, remember. You told me in the car, you haven't told them.
Oh, I see. My father had a phone call in the shop from the porter of the apartment which we lived in to say that an SS man has called and asked, is there a Kurt Selders living in this apartment? On this building here. So the porter says, yes, so far as I know, but he is not at home. So he said, thank you, we will come back. So he phoned my father in the shop to tell him the story. So my father immediately got hold of me, took me to the next warehouse or store, bought a suitcase, underwear, shirt, pajamas, whatever, took me to the station and sent me off to the lady in Switzerland who lived not far from Zurich.
Who is she?
A complete stranger who my mother met on the ship.
That lady, right.
Yes.
Why did your father... Is this the first you'd heard of the SS doing this? I mean...
Yes. I must say I've had no disagreement or anything with any of the political parties in Germany. They must have just picked my name out of random for unknown reason because, as I said, we never waited to find out.
You hadn't done anything as far as you were aware?
No, I don't think I've done anything so far as I remember.
Did you know what it would mean if the SS got you? Had you heard about the concentration camp? Well,
no.
Dachau, I think it would be. Then.
To be honest, I personally have not heard of any concentration camp or anything. I knew that people were taken away in the streets. And I've seen people taken away. But as I said, you know, when
now
you're
when
young.
When exactly was this? Can you put a date on it? I know you're a bit vague on dates.
A little bit vague on the date, yes.
38 or 36? Before Kristallnacht?
Yes, before Kristallnacht. Yes. Because 38 I was already gone.
So 37?
37 I would rather say, yes.
So you're working in the department store, 36, 37, about
yes.
9 months.
Yes.
And then you, which part of the year was it? Winter, summer? You're not sure. It's all right.
Not
it's all right.
Sure.
So it's a long time. It's 70 years ago.
Yes.
So what preparations were made? So you went and bought a suitcase. You got your father bought you a set of clothes. Anything else?
No. Nope.
You didn't go home again at all?
No. Nope.
So tell me what happened then. He put you on a train or what?
He put me on the train and I arrived in Zurich and there was somebody who said, you're called Zeldes? Yes, come with me. I'm a friend of your mother and we met. And she put me up in a boarding house. And then I had a telephone call from my parents that they are arranging to follow me in a couple of days.
Now, what were your lodgings like? I mean, do you remember?
I was in a very simple boarding house. Full stop. That's all I remember.
And were you working? Were you able to get
no.
work? Or were you just staying
no.
there?
I just stayed there. And that lady said, you wait here until you hear from your
so
parents.
So you didn't live with her? She just
no.
paid for the lodgings?
Yes.
How did you find Switzerland?
Oh, very nice. In actual fact, it was lovely. It was something
whereabouts
different.
Were you in Switzerland?
In Zurich.
In Zurich.
Actually, wait a minute. I'm just trying to think. It wasn't actually Zurich. It was a little place outside Zurich. I can't remember now.
But in the Zurich area?
Yeah, in the Zurich area.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Yes.
Now, so, what about your parents? What happened? What were they doing?
I don't know. I didn't hear until I had a phone call the next day. Don't worry, we're okay. We will try and follow you very shortly. That's all I know. And all I knew that I think it could have been a week after they followed.
So very quickly.
Yes.
And the whole family? Or
then
what?
I can tell you only what my father said. He then, where my mother said, now let's go, let's close up. My father said, what am I taking? She said, just forget it. Come. Now.
So you weren't able to. Your father had been unable to sell the businesses.
No.
So
as
all
a
the
matter
money
of fact,
left.
I can tell you what happened. He went round to try and find a place in the world where he could possibly emigrate. And he came across. Yes, call it a gentleman, who said, Mr. Zeldes, I own some land in South Africa. If I sell you a little bit of my land, you can go to the South African embassy and they will for sure will give you at least a visiting visa. And that's what he did. And that's what I was told, let's put it that way. He arrived then in Zurich, proudly with my mother and my sister, saying, we got a visiting visa for 6 months to go to South Africa. We got tickets for a ship to leave Genoa to Cape Town and return, because you had to buy a return ticket. We couldn't take any money out, but the shipping line allowed us to take vouchers to spend on board ship. So the family decided we'll try and change vouchers as much as possible for hard cash. So at least we will have some money when we arrive in South Africa. because the maximum you were allowed to take out of Germany was 10 marks.
Which was nothing in effect.
Which was nothing, not even pocket money. So in the evening, my sister and I, we went to the bars, and whenever anybody tried to pay...
On the boat.
On the boat. Tried to pay it in cash, we said, oh, please, can we use our vouchers and you give me your cash?
Now tell me about the voyage. What ship? Do you know the name of the ship?
Ah, no. It was an Italian liner, but I've forgotten now the name.
Now, so... Were they willing to exchange vouchers for cash?
Yes, yes.
For vouchers, it's
well, the ship wasn't, but the people who were paying gave me their vouchers and said, okay, and here's the cash for it. I cannot remember, but it could have possibly been in the region of about 50 to 60 pounds. You know, something like that. I can't remember, but I know it wasn't a lot, but it was plenty to get on with. We were then arrived in Cape Town.
Do you remember anything else about the voyage? How comfortable was it?
It was quite comfortable.
I mean, were you in a proper cabin and things?
We were. Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. My parents, I can't remember. They didn't take first class, but they took a good cabin. That was no difficulty of getting. So we had a good cabin. My sister and I, we had a cabin, and my parents had a cabin. So, in actual fact, I would say it was the most fantastic adventure.
In what way?
Well, because I was a youngster. I've never been on a ship before. It was wonderful to be served and to be given food and to be entertained. It wasn't a German company, it was Italian, so it was very cosmopolitan. And I would say that looking back on it, we had the time of our life. My parents naturally were very worried now. We said, why are you worried? Well, they said, well, because we don't know what's going to happen next. But you know, when you're a youngster, you're not thinking of that. So life is wonderful like that.
So this was still 37 when you arrived
yes.
in Cape Town.
So well, then we arrived in Cape Town. We were greeted, so far as I remember, by somebody from a Jewish community in Cape Town who said, well, don't worry, we will look after you. They gave us in Cape Town a one-bedroom apartment, which we all shared, and because being a boy, my bedroom was on the balcony. It was on a semi-first floor. I would say just about, with a little bit of climbing, I managed to get out of it. And that's what I used as my bedroom. In the morning, I closed up my bed, and that was it. So it was... how shall I say? New. It was a new adventure.